I do want to give you a special warning as you go into the auditorium this morning. We added some pews towards the back and the sides, and we've removed most of the red chairs. So I don't know if any of you all noticed, but some of those red chairs were starting to wear on the carpet because they, you know, they shift around and everything. So we've got some nice new pews out there. So you may be used to sitting in one spot, and the back row is now a pew. So just be mindful of that. So, huh? Everybody has to move to the front that was in the back. Yeah, talk to Ray about that, would you? All right, we're in Psalms 55. You know, this is a psalm written by David that as he deals with a serious betrayal of what we're going to read as a very close friend, a companion. It doesn't say exactly who that companion and friend is. It could be Ahithophel. It talks about him in 2 Samuel 15:31. Asks God to turn his counsel into foolishness, and it could be referring to Absalom, but we don't know for sure, but there's a lot to take away from this lesson. And so, you know, having someone that you're very close to hurt you, it's a very painful, very emotional time, you know, somebody that you've trusted, and as we, you know, endure life, those things can happen. David was betrayed, and it seems it's just terrible and it's hurtful, not by just a friend, but someone that he enjoyed fellowship with. Look there in verse 14. He says, we who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. It's an extremely difficult time to go through when you have somebody that betrays your trust. But here's someone that betrayed a trust that was a fellow worshiper of God and a close companion. Look at verse 13. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. Think about how painful that must have been for David. You know, think of that in terms of now, for a brother or sister that you know, a fellow child of God breaks your trust and hurts you badly. You know, maybe I pray that you've never had that happen, and I pray that that's all worked out, and you two have come to, you know, love, and one or the other has come to repentance. But think about that. And more than likely, maybe it hasn't been a brother or sister, but maybe it's been someone in your life. Maybe it's been a fellow worker. Maybe it's been a family member. So we're going to try to make, you know, application to ourselves in any situation, whether it be a brother or sister in Christ or someone close to us. We're going to look at that. Let's read the first five verses as we begin. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and terrors of death fall upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. You know, right away, you look at this psalm, and what do we see David do right away? Say again. He prays, doesn't he? He goes right to God and in despair, and says he's in anguish, and we see David turns to God. What an example for you and I, right? Right away, let's turn to God when we're confronted. And he pleads with God. He's in despair. Give an ear to my prayer, he says. He takes it to God and with a sense of urgency. You know, when we're in trouble, when we need things from God, when things are going on in our lives, We have a sense of urgency, don't we? It overwhelms us. Our heart is just in anguish. And he says, give heed to me and answer me, he says in verse 2. There's no doubt as tragedies and painful situations happen to us in life, it's essential for us to give us immediate help to get through. When things happen in life that are hard to deal with and place that heavy burden on us, David is overcome and troubled. And what does he need? He needs answers, but he needs relief. He may not get that answer right away, right? He needs that immediate feeling of relief. Let's turn to Philippians 4. We're probably familiar with this verse about prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. This situation that David is dealing with, you know, he's feeling in agony. He's overwhelmed, and he needs immediate relief. And what does Paul tell the Philippians there in verse 7? After you've prayed, after you've given these over to God, and you've presented your petitions to Him, and in thanksgiving, knowing that He's going to provide, what should your heart feel? Peace. Exactly. The things that are consuming us and troubling us in life, whether it be that confrontation with a friend or loved one or brother and sister, it can cause anxiety. He says, but the peace of God will, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds. He says, but in everything, There is inner turmoil. There is no inner turmoil that God cannot help, is there? Sometimes we feel like we can go through and solve our own problems, and I've probably been the world's worst person for that, and especially in my younger days. But because you feel like it's out of control, so you want to take control, don't you? You want to grab a hold of that problem, and you know. But the best thing for us to do, to get that peace, to get that relief, when things are going wrong, beyond our control, we have to go to God. But the worst thing we can do is flee from the problem, isn't it? We shouldn't flee or try to get away from the problem. We need to go to God and have Him help us deal with it. Back to Psalms 55. Let's read verses 6 through 8. I said, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Beyond, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. So here we have a situation where David just wishes he could get away from this, you know, that he could have refuge, fly away, wander far away. You know, lodge in the wilderness, go to a place of refuge. You know, those are all things that are, well, I've got to escape this problem. And that's what so many people want to do. It's very natural to want to do that. People want that relief, so they try to escape that emotional thing that's going on in their life. And when they do, sometimes they turn to other things, or they make things worse than they already were. And in life and situations, the worst thing we can do is turn to other things, because they can only make things worse for our problems. People turn to alcohol. They turn to other answers that they look for in books and just other things that they can try to do, when you and I realize that We need to understand that we can go straight to God and find that relief and not try to escape. Will God forsake us like a friend might do? No. He won't fail us. He won't forsake us. And let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 tells us that God will not leave us. Look at Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? You know, the situation here kind of tells us that maybe, you know, the person that needs money is having a rough time, that this is a good scripture to look at. But that applies to anything, doesn't it, in life. As things go, when troubles happen, God says, I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, if we'll have that attitude, what does he say there in verse 6? So that we can what? Confidently say, do not be afraid. You think about that. Confidently say, I will not be afraid. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? And that's the kind of faith that God tells us we should have, we can have, and is available to us to have. Yeah, Chuck? Yes, sir. Right.
We're not going to be desirous of all these things that ultimately really where the anxiety is coming from.
Yeah.
You know, now if we don't end up finding peace and finding comfort, maybe that's suggesting to us that there's something wrong with our attitude and our response is not what we need to be in order for God to grant us.
That's right. That's right. And having that confidence, because if our attitude's not right, that prayer, it will, you know, God's just not going to understand how your faith is there, and he will see you through it. You know, when I think about that, when we are surrounded by troubles or betrayed by other people, and we ask for God's help, God expects us. I believe Brent said something the other week about expect us to have confidence. We could be strong and courageous. And you look there in verse 6 of Hebrews, it says, you know, we can have confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? You know, you think about what will man do to you that God cannot undo or help you through? There's nothing. And even to the point of death, because what greater thing to go to God, you know, and, you know, that's just the reality that we have nothing to fear because God is on our side. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Back to Psalms 55. Let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. David calls upon the Lord to take action here. doesn't he? He asks God, he says, the ways of my enemy are wicked. The enemies of God are the enemies of the righteous. And God knows their violence. He knows their hearts. He knows their sins. He knows the trouble that they try to stir up, doesn't he? And David asked God to confuse their speech. And do we recall another instance in the Old Testament where God confused some people's speech to the Tower of Babel? That's right, Babel. In Genesis 11, God confused the speech so he would undermine that wickedness that was going on, didn't he? God has the power to do all things, and he confused the language of the people so they couldn't accomplish their wicked. And I don't know, I know in my life, I've seen things that have happened, and after prayer and just giving it all over to God, I'm just amazed at how it all worked out. how it all came to good for those people or for me. And wickedness will not triumph. God will not allow it. And it's amazing. God will see us through. And again, this particular instance of David is not an enemy. It's a close companion. David considers this person a companion. Let's look at verses 12 through 15 there in Psalms 55. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me that I could bear it, nor it is one who hates me or who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. He who had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol. For evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. He says, I could bear it if it was an enemy. Someone that, you've known that's been terrible to you maybe in your life, and you know that's their heart, don't you? And so, but here you find someone that David's saying is a close companion, someone that David worshiped God with. Now this person is bringing trouble on him. And it kind of reminds us of the story of Judas, doesn't it? Jesus knows what it's like to have a relationship someone who betrays you. How evil was Judas? Evil was in his heart, wasn't it? He conspired and schemed to see to Jesus's capture and eventual death. For what? What did Jesus? Yeah, just a little bit of money, didn't he? And that's what evil people will do. Just to do things to gain something, to get ahead, and even sometimes just to hurt. And you think about a person or a person like them, that evil dwells in that person's heart. And the reason David is asking to judge them is because evil is what they are all about. It's not just a simple mistake. And I hope that, as we go through life and with your mate or with your friends or with your family, and you realize that you've said something hurtful, and it's just that one mistake. It's not who you are. Maybe you got upset about something. Maybe you misunderstood something. But turn to that person. Go to that person and repent and plead for their forgiveness, because this is not who you are. This is what evil is, as we're reading about here. And then even though David pleads with God to render judgment upon them, David didn't take matters into his own hands, did he? And that's sometimes the first attitude that we have when things go wrong. Boy, we want to lash out. We want to take revenge. And God will bring judgment upon evil people, won't he? Let's look at Romans 12. This reminds us that God will take care of rebellious, evil people. Romans 12. Look at verse 17 through 19. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So, right there it says, never. Don't take a little parting shot. Don't try to get one little dig in, one little last word to feel better. Taking someone down a notch, as they say. If that person who you have a problem with is in the wrong and in sin, God will take care of it. You and I should not think that it's our place to put them in their place, right? It says there, never pay back evil for evil. Never. Take your own revenge. Back to Psalms 55. Look at verse 16. After saying this about, you know, this person and deceitfulness and the evil in their head, David says, as for me, I shall call upon God and the Lord will save me. Kind of back to that scripture we read earlier about God is my helper. God will save me, David says. The Lord's going to save me. And what should my focus be? Not upon that person, right? But realize that, for as for me, I will call upon the Lord. And you think about that. Lord's going to save David. And David understands and he realizes that God is listening and he will act upon his behalf. God knows his people. He knows his children, doesn't he? Look at verse 17 and 18. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace for the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me. David is praying how long? Evening and morning and noon. Well, he just covers the whole day, doesn't he? Prayer continually, isn't it? David is praying the whole day. He's constantly petitioning God. He's not going to go to God and just say, all right, it's at your feet. You're going to take... He continues to let God hear his voice and see his heart. And it's a prayerful attitude that we see David having. And he says there in verse 18, after doing all that, he says, he will redeem my soul in peace. And we looked at some verses earlier about the peace. God doesn't want us to have burdens, does he? He wants us to unburden him, ourselves upon him. He says, he will hear my voice there in verse 17, doesn't he? And he will hear my voice. He doesn't want us to go, he does want us to go to him in faith. Let's look at a scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He wants us to go to Him in faith. Because if we'll go to Him with that confidence, if we'll approach His throne of grace, He says, we'll receive mercy and we'll receive grace in that time of need. You know, as I said earlier, Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed. And He had not only Judas, but He had His people continually seeking out to destroy Him. He knows how hard it is, how much our heart aches. And because of Him, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. You know, you think about us and our situations and our problems. And it's all because the only reason we can go to God is because of Jesus, right? Because of what He did on the cross. We can get mercy during our trials of life and sickness. And that's the thing we need to realize. Jesus didn't go to the cross just so you and I can spend eternity with Him. I mean, that's what it's all about. Don't get me wrong. But He went to the cross so you and I can have help in the time of need, didn't He? That's what God is all about. His love for us in sending His Son. Not just the future in eternal life and no sickness and pain, but relief and mercy from sickness and pain in this life. God has provided us through His Son that avenue, the grace and mercy. Comments? All right. I'm doing a lot of talking. Thank you. I'm trying to get through the whole chapter here. Yeah. Continuously seeking. Yep. That's right. Yeah, we've got to continue to have that prayerful attitude. That's right. And He hears His righteous ones. Let's look back there in Psalms 55. He hears the righteous. Look there in verse 19. God will hear and answer them. Even the one who sits enthroned from the old, with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God, He has put forth His hand against those who were at peace with Him. He has violated His covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but His heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet He has drawn His sword. You know, David says that he will hear His righteous. And then he calls out this person that is trying to damage him and basically says about this person, well, they're a smooth talker. They're a smooth talker. You know, it's snake oil salesman? Or is that the term they used to use? David calls out that person that's trying to do damage and basically says there's someone that's flattering, but, boy, you can't trust their words. He says there's someone that seems to be righteous and innocent, but they're really not. It seems to be soft as oil, but behind their words is, he says, it's sharp as a sword, ready to wound. And so many times, that's what evil people will do. You know, I said earlier about they probably have some ulterior motive to try to get ahead. But a lot of times in situations, there appears to be some well-meaning, but in reality, they've got a hidden agenda, don't they? They've got an ulterior motive to get to something. Or to get something, or to get at someone. And for you and I, what should our attitude be? It should be one that's watch what we say, watch how we say it, and think about what to say in reaction. This person had professed to be a friend, a brother and sister. And so it's hard not to feel like you can go to this person and talk. But if their attitude continues to remain of evil, it makes it even more difficult. But as a friend or brother or sister, their words that, you know, they may be directly at you or to someone else about you. And our attitude should always be someone that when we talk about someone, it should be about building them up and not tearing them down. Let's look at Romans 14. So Romans 14, verse 19 tells us, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Now, this chapter is about, talking about things that may be a matter of opinion or things of the conscience, not to try to be too overbearing maybe on someone about a situation. But the application for you and I should always be when we're dealing with other people, whether it be something that we disagree with them about or someone that is evil, we should always be about pursuing things which make for peace and that are always trying to build that person up. And that's difficult, isn't it? Building up someone that's trying to hurt you. And so pursue peace and build that person up or any situation when we're talking. Building up one another should always be what we were trying to do to our brothers and sisters, isn't it? Your family members, your friends, they look at you as the example of Christ, don't they? And so that one opportunity maybe that you had could be gone because your attitude was one that was not one that was pursuing peace. It was trying to continue the fight. I'm going to win this battle. Yeah, Chuck.
When we pursue peace with our enemy, we're really trying to make it easy for them to.
Yeah, we're trying to give them the opportunity, right?
Yeah, we're putting it into a situation where is there any fear of God in that other person to let God make that determination?
True. That's right.
We don't ever want to be the one in the way
that keeps them. That's exactly my point. We don't want to be that one person that didn't give them an opportunity because, God knows their heart, and there's an opportunity for them to see Christ in us. Good point, Chuck. Thank you. So let's go back to Psalms 55 there, verse 22 and 23. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. David almost appears to be, encouraging himself and reassuring that God will sustain him, and that's good. We need to have that attitude in ourselves, but he says, we have to do something. We have to cast. And for some of you, some men and ladies that have liked to fish, and what you're after, right? You're after the prize, right? The fish. And you're casting something towards God, aren't you? You're asking him to please take this. I need you. And you cast that burden upon him. So if we want answers, if we want help, if we want relief, if we want strength, he says there, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will sustain you, but we have to go to him. And let's look at one more scripture as we begin to wrap up this. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. First Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. says, Peter writes, that we have to have that humble attitude, don't we? We have to have that prayerful attitude. We have to have that attitude that we can't control everything. We have to give it all over to God, and He'll help us through it. And casting all on Him, and we said this earlier, because He cares for us. He gave His Son. You know, we can't solve the problems alone. Don't try it. I don't recommend it. Have some humility and humble yourself and realize, like David did, put all your anxiety and worries because God cares for you. How often will God let the righteous be shaken? Psalms 55, verse 22 tells us He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. He doesn't say there that we're not going to have difficulties, right? There's not going to be trials and suffering. But if we'll trust in Him and put our faith in Him, we'll not let that burden overwhelm us and even destroy us and cause us to lose our faith. That destruction is reserved for the unrighteous there, David said. Not for you and I, not for His people, not for those who seek Him and ask for His help, those who are the faithful few, as they used to say. Those that practice deceit, God asked David, and He knows that He will deal with cruel people. But He says, but I will trust in You. Yeah, Ron? Right. Yeah. That's a good point. David's trial was with Satan. Now he's behind on it. And that's the same thing. That's a good point you think about that. All that what's driving evil people in their heart is Satan. You know, it gets into the person's heart and drives them to do those things. And that's where our attitude and our prayerfulness, you know, for them, we have an opportunity to show God but once again, sometimes we can't do anything about it. And David tells us, but I will trust in You. But Ron, thank you. That's good thought. What's behind all this is Satan that's driving evil people. Yes. Yeah. So, that's a good thought. That being thankful and for everything. I think that's what it means. You know, you have that attitude. You know, God's going to see you through, whether it be from past experiences that He's helped you through, or future, or just having that thankful attitude that one day I'm going to be in heaven and I don't have to suffer this anymore. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at that, but having that thankful attitude, just overall, I think is important. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your time and attention this morning.